This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 9th of September 2022. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. Now, before we start looking at the contents of the Hampshire Chronicle for this week, I'm sure that you will understand that we need to mark this day as the first after the death of our monarch, Queen Elizabeth II. We also need to acknowledge that this is the first full day of our new monarch, Charles III. I was struck watching the extended news last night by an interview by Clive Myrie with Sir John Major. In paying tribute to the Queen, Sir John noted that the Queen had asked him, at her Diamond Jubilee, to set up a fund to support people of poor and failing sight to achieve a significant, sustainable reduction in avoidable blindness throughout the Commonwealth. I thought that was very appropriate for today. Well, after such a significant event in the life of this country, it might seem very parochial and possibly disrespectful to be reading excerpts from a local newspaper such as the Hampshire Chronicle. But that is what we are here to do. So I will introduce our readers for today: Vara Williams.
Hello.
Tom Williams.
Hello.
And Claire Porter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter for this week, Peter Lilliard. So we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with a recording that you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 86 1229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Don't forget, as you listen to the recording, you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen to them again. And if you have a computer or tablet, you will know, I'm sure, that you can use the memory stick either in your box or attached to the computer or the tablet. Or you can read the news, or listen to the news, I should say, on our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. Recordings are listed in date order, with the most recent first on the list. So our headline stories for this week are local MPs. What do they do? They get in behind the newbie. What is the word I've missed?
Weigh in.
They weigh in. I've spelt it wrong on my script. That was wrong there. Heavy heart at Black Rat closure. Thousands facing longer waits at hospitals A&E. And club bids for a 4 a.m. licence. We have the first headline story, please.
Yes, local MPs weigh in behind new... Liz Truss is the new Prime Minister, and local people have been reacting to the news. The former Foreign Secretary replaces the outgoing Boris after pipping Rishi Sunak to the post after a Conservative leadership contest. Meon Valley MP Flick Drummond said, "I congratulate Liz on winning the leadership election and on becoming the third woman Prime Minister of this country. She has my full support in addressing the considerable challenges the country faces with the cost of living, energy security and the war in Ukraine. There are difficult times ahead for us all. However, Liz is a talented and experienced leader who has made it clear she will act quickly to address energy price rises, which I know everyone in Hampshire is very concerned about." Romsey MP Caroline Noakes said, "I very much hope the new Prime Minister turns her attention immediately to the cost of living crisis, how it is impacting families and individuals, but also the wider impact on businesses, community organisations and the public sector. I have no doubt this will be her number one priority." Winchester MP Steve Brine said, I think everyone, for the sake of our country, whatever their partisan views, must wish her well and hope she succeeds in what are undoubtedly tough times. Danny Chambers, Lib Dem MP candidate for Winchester, said, "During this contest, Liz Truss repeatedly stated her support of Boris Johnson, while offering up no ideas to tackle the big issues of the day. People are none the wiser on whether government will help energy costs or whether they will take any action to prevent water companies dumping sewage or whether they'll provide serious help to tackle the record NHS waiting times." Meanwhile, out and about Mohammed Amir, O2 worker from Winchester, aged 40, said, "Basically, I was looking for a lesser evil, but I don't think there was an option for that." Based on her pledges and promises, she seems no better, but we'll see. Until I see a reflection on them following through on their empty promises, will I believe what they say? Rachel East, 51, from Winchester, "I don't really follow what's going on. The news is too depressing. But if she's going to put the cost of everything up, I definitely need to look into her. I think this country is bankrupt, and they keep using COVID as an excuse. She might be better. I'd like to think so."
Thank you,
Heavy
Lara.
Heart at Black Rat Closure. The owner of a former Michelin star restaurant in Winchester has said that the reason for its closure is the staggering increase in energy bills. The Black Rat restaurant in Chesil Street will be closing its doors for the last time following its final service on Friday, September the 30th. Staff said in a Facebook post that closing left them with a heavy heart. David Nicholson, who also runs the Black Boy Pub, the Black Bottle Wine Bar and the Black Hole Bed and Breakfast, said, "The main reason behind its closure is the impact of the increasing energy bills. It's going up from £20,000 to between £80,000 and £100,000. There are also problems with staffing, which include front of house and chefs. Wages and food prices have gone through the roof. We never set out to make lots of money, but we certainly didn't want to make a loss. It was becoming an unviable business. The winter won't be a happy one for many. The costs at the Black Rat were the highest across my businesses." Mr. Nicholson said he had happy memories of the Black Rat and didn't rule out coming back in the future. He said it's been 15 years of really good fun. The staff and customers were excellent, and we achieved what we set out to do. Eventually, these things have to come to an end. The restaurant that lost its Michelin star ranking in February 2021 made the announcement of the closure on its website and Facebook page on Monday the 5th of September. The Facebook post stated, "It's been a blast, but all good things come to an end. With a heavy heart, the Black Rat is closing its doors for the final time at the end of September. Below, instead of the usual food pics, are the people that made it all possible over the last 15 years. The guys who worked their hardest to create amazing menus, provide the best service and make the Black Rat what it was. We'd like to thank all the customers who supported us from the start, and particularly those who braved our unusual menus. Lamb heart, brain, horse or wood ant, anyone? And became not just regular customers, but also friends. You all know who you are, so I won't embarrass you, but we'll miss you terribly. Keep well, eat well, support local businesses, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Gareth, Erica, Jose, Ali, Nick, Shearer, Matt, Dave, and Sam XXX. The post has received more comments and showing its reputation in Winchester. Ali Manswell commented, "This is so sad. Winchester lacks decent privately owned venues. Jersey and the team have always looked after us tremendously well and made us feel special. wishing every one of them success in their future ventures. James Swan Jr. commented, "Thank you so much for everyone at the Black Rat Restaurant. It was my wife and I's indulgence every year, and it's where we got engaged on January the 25th, 2014. Very special memories for us. We will truly miss it. Just glad we visited on Friday where I had the lamb. Gutted." I don't know whether that's that's the lamb or him. "Good luck, everyone, in your new ventures, if it's true." Kyoto kitchen owner Miff Kayom said, "It's devastating news for the culinary scene in Winchester."
Thank you, Tom. Claire, please.
Thousands facing longer waits at hospitals A&E. Thousands of patients had to wait longer than 4 hours in A&E last month, figures reveal. The latest emergency department performance figures published by NHS England for July show that there were a total of 12,101 attendances to A&E for Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, HHFT, which runs Winchester, Basingstoke and Andover hospitals. Of these, 7,322 were seen within the target of 4 hours before being admitted, transferred or discharged. However, 4,779 had to wait longer than 4 hours, and 7 patients waited longer than 12 hours. Across England, 30% of patients were not seen within 4 hours of attending A&E, while in record number, 29,317 of patients were not seen within 12 hours. As HHFT, the percentage of those not admitted, transferred or discharged within 4 hours was almost 40%, 10% higher than the average for England. Responding to the latest figures, Vice President of the Royal College of Emergency Medicine, Dr. Adrian Boyle, said, "These performance figures are worse than we could have expected for a summer month. There were nearly 30,000 12-hour waits, measured from decision to admit to admission, in July 2022. That is more than 3.5 times the total number of 12-hour waits for the whole of 2019. Dr. Boyle said across the UK, 13,000 beds are urgently needed to drive meaningful improvement. He added, "Winter is looming, which will bring a wave of flu and COVID and increased footfall in emergency departments. With the data as dire as it is today, and the scale of patient harm already occurring, we dread to think how much worse things could get for patients." Meanwhile, a person from Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust said, "High volumes of people attending our emergency departments, alongside patients being more unwell and staying in hospital for longer, has meant we have seen sustained levels of demand across our hospitals in recent months. Our staff continue to work incredibly hard to care for everyone who needs us. We are doing all we can to ensure patients are seen as soon as possible and are working on ways to improve flow through our hospitals. Everyone can help us by supporting relatives to leave hospital as well as using the right service."
Thank you, Claire. And my headline piece headline is Club Bids for 4 a.m. License. A nightclub has applied to extend its opening hours to serve booze until 4 a.m, making it the latest club in the city. However, residents who live near the club say they are concerned that longer hours will see a rise in ongoing late-night antisocial behaviour that is blighting the city centre. Vodka in Upper Brook Street, that's the name of the club, is a mecca for students and is currently allowed to open until 1:30 a.m. Monday to Wednesday and 1:30 and 2:30 a.m. Thursday to Saturday and until midnight on Sunday. However, the co-owners, Calvin Collymore and Lee Davis, who moved to the city in 2005, have grand plans for the club, and as well as currently carrying out a £130,000 refurbishment to upgrade its toilets, welfare facilities, layout and soundproofing, they hope to extend their licence to 3 a.m. on Monday to Wednesday and 4 a.m. Thursday to Saturday. Well, despite residents' fears, they say the application has a much broader scope than just the opening hours, and a significant amount of time, money and effort has been put into improving the venue. Rich Slims, who's a consultant for the club, said, "Winchester only has one nightclub, and for it to survive and modernise, it needs to be recognised as such. So, just getting that terminal hour helps." By agreement with the council, Vodka held a trial month for the new opening hours and dispersal policy earlier this year. During that time, it says the authority didn't receive any complaints regarding noise or antisocial behaviour. However, not everyone is happy. One resident who lives in Upper Brook Street has called on her neighbours to oppose the extended hours. She said, People leaving the club have caused her anxiety and sleepless nights, and she fears for her safety when the drunken revellers are passing her house. Excuse me. The resident, who did not want to be named for fear of being targeted, said her car being vandalised by people running over it, that she has witnessed fighting in the street and seen windows being smashed. She said, "I can't sleep. My anxiety levels are through the roof. 4 a.m. is too late. Aren't these people supposed to be at college or in work?" Not all residents are completely opposed to the plan, but most agree there's a lot of work needed in tackling antisocial behaviour late at night in the city. Luke Taylor, who lives in Upper Brook Street, said that they often experience antisocial behaviour outside their flat. However, Luke said he was not opposed to the longer opening hours if it meant a more staggered kicking out time. He said, "As a resident who lives so close, I would appreciate them extending their coverage to ensuring that people are on their way at the end of the night. The club needs to work with the residents if they are to get their support." The club has agreed additional measures with Hampshire Constabulary, which will see 12 new staff members taken on, including additional security. People have until September the 21st to comment, and there is a search reference there at the end of this piece. Right, well, those are the headline stories. Now we move on to the death notices. Derry, Paul Derry, peacefully at Winchester Hospice, the 26th of August, aged 75.
Mallon, Robert Mallon, known as Bob, of Winchester and Liverpool, peacefully on the 20th of August.
Seymour, Francis Seymour, known as Anne, after a lengthy fight with her deteriorating health in the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 15th of August, aged 84.
Weller, Roy Oliver Weller, Professor of Neuropathy, Southampton School of Medicine, peacefully at Winchester Hospice, 23rd of August, aged 84.
White, Geraldine Lavinia Catherine White, formerly of Winterslow, peacefully at Appisbarton Nursing Home on the 27th of August, aged 94. Right, so may we move on to Christian comment from Claire, please.
Which is headed today, Sacred Space, and is written by the Reverend Philip Crinks. Give me space. How often do we feel like that? We're on a crowded train, or in town on market day. We are in a busy pub at the weekend, or in a room too small for the party who've gathered. We feel physically hemmed in. Sometimes it's spiritual space we need. Human relationships become too pressing. Worries and yearnings crowd in on us. It's not our body, but our soul, which feels hemmed in. And sometimes we feel the need for both. We need a physical space in which our soul can breathe. It's time to seek out a space of sanctuary, a sacred space. There are many understandings of the idea of sacred space. It can mean places, indoors or outdoors, where we have been able to reconnect with God. Or it can mean places which have been set apart for the spiritual life, as churches and churchyards often have been. Those can be important because what they mean to us, they meant also to past generations. They help us to inhabit a living spiritual tradition. We kneel, as T.S. Eliot wrote, where prayer has been valid. This Saturday, you have a unique opportunity. Several hundred sacred spaces in the region will open their doors for the annual Ride and Stride event, run by the Hampshire and the Islands Historic Churches Trust. Anyone can participate and travel from church to church, visiting as many as you choose, on foot or by bike, car, wheelchair, or even on horseback. At the same time, you can raise funds for the restoration and repair of these buildings. You may even find refreshments to help you travel on. In sacred spaces, such as these historic churches, we have the chance to find peace, to catch our spiritual breath, and to find our way back to God. But paradoxically, what we then realise is that God wants to be with us, not only in certain places, but everywhere. Because the sacred space, which matters most by far, so far as God is concerned, is us. The truly sacred space is not a historic building or wooded hillside, however beautiful, but a human soul which is united with God by following the way Christ taught and the community of those pilgrim souls as they journey together. It is in that soul space that God communicates to us how loved and precious we are, and that he forms and reforms us in his image. In that space we can learn and grow. It is that soul space which he wants us to set aside for him. Does that undermine the idea of a physical place as sacred? I would be very reluctant to say so. If there is a place where God has revealed himself to you, or perhaps, to be more precise, where have you been able to give him a way into your heart, then who am I to say it is not sacred? So, find your sacred space, first on the map and then in your heart, so that the joy of the Lord God may fill your heart wherever you walk with him. You can find more information about the sacred spaces open for Saturday's ride and stride at www.hihct.org.uk/ride-and-stride. And that was written by Reverend Philip Crinks.
Thank you, Claire. Gosh, that was a website and a half and the address for that, wasn't it? Well done. Right, now we move on to letters to the editor. Now, there are just 8 letters from the Hampshire Chronicle this week, but they are on 8 different subjects, which makes a change. So, Vara, could you read the first letter, please?
Yes, mine is headed Printing History and comes from James Stanley, who lives in Alsford, and he has a great connection to the Hampshire Chronicle. I'm writing to congratulate you on your 250th anniversary. I feel that I have known you for just over 60 years. In the 1960s, many local newspapers took a step forward in production terms and replaced their ageing Wharfdale presses that printed on often only one side of a sheet of paper from a flat form of type to one that could print on both sides of a reel of paper, whilst retaining the facility to stop and change letters in the form, before continuing. In 1962, the Hampshire Chronicle, like many other local newspapers, had been using an old Wharfdale, or similar flatbed press, for a very long time. The London Times, which began publication a few years before the Hampshire Chronicle, had, by the 1960s, been converting the flat form of type into a curved stereo that could be fixed to a rotary cylinder. This made printing very much faster, but was an expensive operation that your circulation could not justify. It has to be said that you were not in the vanguard of production development by installing your web-fed flatbed Cossar press in 1962, although at that time you could have been in publication for longer than most newspapers. You were in your third production phase, but your press, a new modal Cossar, was second-hand and could have been anything up to 40 years old. It was, though, still state-of-the-art in newspaper terms. I was, in the late 1950s, a student at the London School of Printing and Graphic Arts, LSPGA, and sponsored by Dawson, Payne and Lockett Limited, DPL, who moved many Cossars in the 1960s and before. Your machine was to be moved to 57 High Street, Winchester, by DPL. The pit over which it was to stand had been dug and lined with concrete when Mr. Lockett, the MD, came to inspect it in readiness for the arrival of the machine. Sadly, he took a step backwards in the wrong place and fell backwards into the pit, a drop of about 3 feet. Having a sprained ankle and being unable to drive, I was appointed as his chauffeur and so made my first visit to Winchester. I did not at the time realise it, but this was to be the first of many. Brian and Jack Grist, a Chronicle linotype operator who called in at King Alfred Place weekly, kept me in touch with developments, and he brought with him one of the first copies off the press. As I write this, using a keyboard that causes letters to appear on a screen, I cannot but feel a twinge of nostalgia for the wonders of letterpress printing about which you have reminded me by announcing your 250th birthday on August the 24th. This is a day before my 81st on the 25th, which makes me only a third of the age of the Hampshire Chronicle. I will not last as long as you, but it is my hope that you have many more years of publication, albeit by means that are not half as interesting or demanding of skill and dexterity as those prior to 1961 when your Cossar died. And that comes from James Stanley of Millbarrow Farm, Beauth, Alsford.
Thank you, Vara. Tom?
The next letter is from Jeff Cox, chairman of the Winchester City Festival Choir, headed Choir Centenary. Next year, 2023, will be the very special year for the Winchester City Festival Choir, as we will be celebrating our centenary. We have arranged that our centenary concert will take place on Saturday, January the 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Harvey Hall of the Performing Arts Centre of St Swithin's School. We will be performing Haydn's Creation and have also commissioned Oliver Tarney, who is head of composition at Winchester College, to write a special piece for us in celebration of this auspicious occasion. The piece will include a children's choir and will be at the start of the concert. We began our rehearsals on September the 7th at Littleton Memorial Hall, and we will be holding an open evening on Wednesday the 14th of September at 7:30 p.m. If any Hampshire Chronicle readers would like to come along and see what we can offer, they will be very welcome indeed. And that's from Jeff Cox, chairman of the Winchester City Festival Choir.
Thank you, Tom. Claire, please.
Wrong trousers.
Oh, no.
In July of this year, I sent a black suit off to the dry cleaners, but only the jacket returned. I'm told that the trousers slipped off the hanger and were put with someone else's jacket. Despite the best efforts of the dry cleaners, they have not been found. But what gets me is the psychology of the person who has received them. Just imagine, they put a jacket into the cleaners, it comes back clean with a pair of trousers. Do they imagine that the trousers have come from some magic trouser tree in the sky? Will they be wearing these trousers, saying to their friends, "Look what the trouser fairy has given me"? Or are they gathering dust in a cupboard somewhere still in the cellophane, waiting for the next time the jacket is needed? What will they do when they find them? It's a mystery. Alex Pease, Martyrworthy, Winchester.
My letter is written by Simon Lever, and it's headed Full of Praise. More often than not, there are negative comments or articles criticising the NHS. I am aware that there are serious problems. Billions of pounds are directed to improve the level of service, availability and bed numbers, but the funding seems to be swallowed up in bureaucracy. Bureaucracy does not treat patients. Dedicated frontline staff deliver treatment and care. During the last week in August, I developed serious chest infection with accompanying stomach pains accompanied by sweating and a high temperature. I'm normally very healthy. My condition was so alarming, my wife called for an ambulance. The crew were amazing, caring and dedicated. I was taken to Winchester Hospital's A&E and immediately to triage, put on a drip and a number of tests carried out plus x-rays. The staff were awesome, truly incredible. Eventually it transpired that I had an infection which affected not just the chest but other organs as well. I was prescribed penicillin antibiotics and eventually, after a good number of hours, was discharged. A suggested telephone follow-up by a doctor resulted in further antibiotics being prescribed, which, working in harmony, would address the overall infection. I cannot praise the staff enough. Their vocational dedication shone through. They were so kind and thoughtful. I could not say thank you enough. Let us not forget that it is the front line, patient-facing teams and associated medical staff that are our NHS. That was written by Simon Lever of Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester. Vara, please.
This one's headed Energy Use and comes from Peter Greaves. Just responding to a letter of last week and after doing an Open University free course on renewable energy, I read James Anderson's letter nearly there. I think there is some correction needed. According to the National Grid website, we now manufacture 43% of our electricity from renewables. Mr. Anderson claimed we only produce 4% from wind and solar. If the National Grid figures are accurate, they claim we produce 1.8% from solar and 26.1% from wind energy. The rest is made up of bioenergy, 12.7%, and hydro at 2.1%. Like it or not, we will still need gas and nuclear power to produce sufficient electricity, even if we develop the capability to produce 100% renewable energy on good windy and sunny days. Interestingly, Scotland can produce 100% renewable energy, as Nicola Sturgeon claimed. However, Scotland is an exporter of energy, and about 50% of her energy use is non-renewable. However, I think we can all be in agreement with Mr. Anderson that we need to cut down our energy use and learn to be more efficient. And that's from Peter Greaves of Stockbridge Road, Winchester.
Tom?
The next letter is from Una Stevens. It's about water. And considering the amount that's fallen from the skies in the last couple of days, it may be considered a little out of date. So it's not so long ago since our Honourable MP for Winchester and Chandler's Ford, Steve Brine, voted with his Conservative government to allow Hampshire rivers to continue to be polluted with effluent, killing off much of our local wildlife. Now it is the turn of our gardens to be killed off as a result of the hose ban that Southern Water is about to impose. It's actually already come into effect. How woeful is it that this company cannot even get the day correct around the vagaries of August the 5th? Gardens are the lifeline of many pensioners who have contacted me, most particularly after the lowdowns we have obediently obeyed, when many have not, e.g. Boris Johnson and his cronies. Cut off their ability to water what they treasure so much, when many of us can hardly move, not simply blue badge holders, many of whom still live in joint households, where one of the couple is well able to wield a watering can. What about stroke, heart attack victims and others who care above all for their gardening legacy? I'd be very grateful if, as editor, you would instigate an investigation into the billions of gallons of water per day that have leaked away across the United Kingdom as a result of inefficient water companies, backed up or not by a totally inefficient government. And that is from Una Stevens of Cliffway Compton.
Thank you, Tom. Claire?
This is headed Cost Plans. What do readers of Hampshire Chronicle think of the following? Will it help overcome the crisis faced by millions of families? 1. Reduce the overseas budget by 50%, with 50% going to form UK aid. As the Chancellor has said, no country is immune from rising prices. 2. Remove the £159 TV licence fee the majority of the public are forced to pay the BBC. This will give the public choice on how they wish to spend their money. This is in line with Liz Truss' thinking. 3. Reduce road tax on all commercial vehicles that deliver essential goods to our supermarkets. The above actions would put billions of pounds back into the public purse. Now we have a new Prime Minister, perhaps she can action item 2 above, which should fall into her bold plans to cut taxes, which the TV licence is. Alan Parker Berwick, Winchester.
Thank you, Claire. And the last letter is headed King's Walk, an unimaginative design. It's written by Jill Collibor. I entirely agree with Councillor Christine Hill's letter, published on September the 1st, about the unimaginative design for King's Walk. Her excellent letter sums it up very well. There are good architects in and around Winchester who could produce a much more suitable and attractive design for this important site. It is written by Jill Collymore of Cannon Street, Winchester. Well, if you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, or you can contact them on 01962860836. That is 01962860836. Or you can email them news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238AL. Oh, you could even drop into that office when you're next in Winchester. So we move on to the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, read by Tom, please.
This week's comment is self-congratulatory. Your old friend's milestone birthday. It's a momentous month for the Hampshire Chronicle as the newspaper is preparing to mark its 250th year in business. As well as a host of offers and freebies, it is, as is quite right for any birthday, we have been busy organising celebration. Please do come to our event on September the 15th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the Chronicle offices, where you will be able to meet the editor and the hard-working team in person, plus getting a glimpse of our working newsroom. You may be wondering why our event is not taking place on August the 24th, which would have been the exact anniversary. Well, it's been a delight and an honour to postpone by a couple of weeks in order to fit in with the return of the Winchester Heritage Open Days. This hugely popular event is returning with a bang, and this year more than 100 events are taking place. The event, organised by the Hampshire History Trust, has taken countless hours of organisation, and it's a credit to the city. There's a huge range of delights on the agenda, and something for everyone. We are sure that even the most long-standing Wintonians will be able to learn something about their wonderful historic home. And we hope to be able to bring you a moment, to give you a moment to wish your old friend a happy birthday.
Thank you, Tom. Nice piece. I'm going to read the opinion piece now from Joanna Lewis. It's headed Remembering Ron Allison. What's this? Autumn already? Leaves curling, crisp and brown? Well, the experts are saying no. What we are seeing is a false autumn. The trees are less resilient to global warming and they have leaves that are already dead. This autumnal vibe feels weird because less than 4 weeks ago we were in a heat wave. I remember sweating bullets and wondering if the car would overheat as I drove to the memorial service for Ron Allison, a contributor to this newspaper for many years who was so loved. Even the cavernous church of St Cross Hospital was not its usual cool self as the sun streamed in. But what a wonderful service, beautifully crafted, tastefully choreographed. The choice of music and the words comforted and raised us up. Do not stand at my grave and weep, was read out, the ultimate bereavement poem that includes the lines, I am not there, I do not sleep, I am the sunlight on ripened grain, I am the gentle autumn's rain, I did not die. Ron was repeatedly described as a devoted husband and loving father, the kindest of gentlemen, a selfless colleague, and avuncular. I had to look that word up. It means kind and reassuring to a younger person or someone less experienced. Well, that was certainly my experience of him in our brief exchanges. A slight murmur went through the congregation when a special message of condolence from the Queen was read out. Ron had been press secretary to Her Majesty and had famously been brave enough to encourage her to smile more at official occasions. How his wisdom and guidance could help us now, as the royals face the ongoing money-making revenge campaign against the Sussexes. Well, back in Britain this week, to shore up their faltering attempt at globe royalty domination. Hollywood's elite apparently find them awkward and untrustworthy. So we suffer their media circus and Markle's thinly veiled attempts to derail William and Kate, preparing to violate family privacy and stir up controversy to make good on their lucrative financial deals. One cannot help but speculate as to whether the Queen's recent frailty is in part due to stress. And of course we know the outcome of that as and from yesterday. Perhaps Ron would have encouraged this pair of narcissists to meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, the first reading at his service, especially the lines, "Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and rejoices in the truth." How glad I am I made the effort to attend Ron's Thanksgiving on that scorching day. But 2 weeks ago, my own father passed away, and we must come to terms with our grief. A very different life and background, but they were of a similar vintage. Family was everything. Life was about putting others first. Personal feelings were put to one side. Kindness and generosity were hardwired into the DNA. A twinkle in the eye was never far away. They put the gent into gentleman. We're going to use the same song to walk out as played at Ron's funeral. It was by Peter Skellen. It couldn't be more appropriate for what truly matters and for what these wonderful fathers would never want us to forget. It goes, "Love is the sweetest thing. Love is the greatest thing. This is the song that will never tire. This is the song without end." And that was Joe Anna Lewis's column. So we move on now to a letter from Westminster, read by Vara, please.
And this comes from Flick Drummond, MP, Member of Parliament for Meon Valley. Liz Truss is the new leader of the Conservative Party and the new Prime Minister. I congratulate her and I wish her well. She has challenges that perhaps no PM since the Second World War has had to deal with. As I write, new policies have not been announced, but I know that Liz will be working hard on a plan to help with the huge rise in energy costs caused mainly by the war in Ukraine. During the leadership campaign, I backed Rishi Sunak, as I preferred his economic policy, but that does not matter now. I will support the new leader, who is very experienced in government after serving in several departments. She will unveil her plans in the coming weeks to get the economy moving, improve investment, tackle the NHS backlog, support Ukraine further, and help those who are struggling with the cost of living, including businesses, who have seen incredible rises in energy bills that are not capped like domestic users. I will be seeking a meeting with the PM in the coming weeks to make it known what my constituents and businesses in Meon Valley want to see happen. It is important she gets a clear idea of the situation in all parts of the country. One area she has mentioned, and I firmly believe we will see announcements on, is energy security. Unfortunately, too many governments spanning several decades and of different colours have been short-sighted in this area. It is a mistake that is being rectified through the British Energy Security Strategy, but I believe this needs speeding up. Renewals and new nuclear will need to come online quickly, as well as more gas to act as a transition fuel while these cleaner energies start to take the load. However, the fact is, 44% of our power generation relies on gas, and this will not change for a while. It is not good enough that we have to pray for a mild winter with the wind blowing. New nuclear power is the only way to safeguard reliable high-intensity supplies within a broad mix of cleaner energy sources in the future. The time taken to build new nuclear stations needs to be shortened, otherwise we will be held to ransom for many years yet by sky-high gas prices. And that was Flick Drummond, MP for Meon Valley.
Well, we now move on to Belgarum, which, as you probably know, is an alternative look at the news. There are three items this week. Tom, could we have the first item, please?
Yes, it's headed Winchester University, the place to become. Okay. Welcoming new students to Winchester University is this poster at the City Railway Station. Hundreds of teenagers will be heading to the city to start as freshers this month and be greeted by this. The University of Winchester, the place to become. What does it mean? The place to become? Become what exactly? Presumably, Belgarum can answer that. The place to become whatever you want to be. But does a university need to spell that out? Presumably the students are all of a certain intelligence and can work that one out for themselves. After all, they'd have had 18 years to think about it. Thank you very much.
Claire.
The longest lasting puddle in Winchester. Puddles come and go. It rains, a puddle forms. It doesn't rain, puddle disappears. That's how things usually work. Except for this one on St George's Street, by the bus stop outside the back entrance to Marks and Spencer. Even during the drought, this puddle refused to go away. Eventually, it was so dry that evaporation did its work. The reason why hangs on that the area where the puddle forms is lower than the adjacent drain, so the gravity does not work. The paving has over the years since it was laid sunk more than the metal drain. No major issue, of course, apart from the occasional splashing from stagnant water and the general unpleasant appearance. And it gives Wintonians a taste of what life is like in a third world country. Have you seen a longer lasting puddle? Or do you have a quirky story that Belgarum should look into? Email newsdesk@hampshirechronicle.co.uk.
The Belgarum piece is headed The Fading Signs of the COVID Pandemic. More than 2 years from the start of the COVID pandemic and the signs are fading. Literally. This was one of the painted signs, and referring to a photograph here, on the pavement, asking people to keep their distance from other people. The City Council in 2020, once the strict lockdown was first lifted, put down these markers that aimed to provide reassurance to the public that they could safely return to the city centre. The one in the photograph is on St Peter's Street, near the High Street. It is now illegible. Well, we now move on to items of historical interest in the Winchester area. The first item from Tom, please.
Packed programme for a real feast of history. People from various places connected to Winchester's vast, impressive history raise a toast to mark the return of the popular Winchester Heritage Open Days Festival. The festival, which returns for its eighth year, was launched on Tuesday with a gathering of invited guests from across the city, hosted by lead sponsor Winchester College at the school's in-house museum treasury. The annual Heritage Festival runs from tomorrow, September the 9th, until Sunday, September the 14th. That should have been today, shouldn't it? Mm. With September the 18th, with a programme of more than 100 events, all free to attend. Despite its name, centred on the historic city, events take place right across the county, reflecting the whole of Hampshire's approach of local organiser, the Hampshire History Trust. Guests of the launch represented a range of venues hosting events for this year's festival programme, including Chawton House, Hursley House, the University of Winchester, and local opera house, The Grange at Northington, alongside the Mayor of Winchester, local councillors, Winchester BID and Hampshire Cultural Trust. Dr. Tim Hands, headmaster of Winchester College, said, "Every year we look forward to welcoming visitors through our doors for the Heritage Open Days Festival, which we are proud to support as the lead sponsor again for 2022. Nikki Gottlieb, chair of the festival's parent organisation, the Hampshire History Trust, said, "We're really thrilled to launch our 2022 Heritage Open Days programme with the support of Winchester College. Hampshire History Trust believes passionately in championing the country's heritage, the county's heritage, and sharing all the wonderful stories it holds. The fantastic events of this fortnight are at the very heart of this, and we are delighted that we can deliver another full festival of free events for everyone to enjoy. Find out more and book free tickets at winchesterheritageopendays.org. Winchester College's Treasury Museum is open in the to the public 7 days a week from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Go to winchestercollege.org/visit-us. Alongside Winchester Heritage Open Days, the Hampshire History Trust runs Hampshire Hist Bites podcast channel, spotlighting individual heritage stories from across the county. And then there's a long website, which I won't repeat. The Hampshire Chronicle is also taking part and is opening its offices in Upper Brook Street on September the 15th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for those interested in meeting the editor and seeing a selection of archives. The event is free to attend and no ticket is required. The newspaper is marking its 250th year this month."
Good heavens, we didn't know that.
Historic find to go on show. The spectacular uncovering of a medieval culvert in Winchester will be the showcase of an exhibition displaying finds from Hyde 900's recent community dig. Hyde 900's display will take place in the inner close of Winchester Cathedral from September the 9th to the 11th. It will be the first opportunity for visitors to see some of the finds associated with the recent dig in Hyde. Hyde 900 will also once again be taking part in the Winchester Heritage Open Days event and will host a series of experts who can reveal in more detail the story of the find of this intact 12th century feature of the construction of Hyde Abbey and the latest interpretation of how this had been a key part of the foul water drainage system of Hyde Abbey. In addition, the ever-popular tile-making in the medieval manor will take place along with a talk by Professor Chris Mulvey. His talk, entitled King Alfred's Astounding Inventions, the national theme of this year's Heritage Open Days. Both these events are currently fully booked, but do check for returns. After the Heritage Open Day event, Hyde 900 will be bringing its highly successful year to a close with the King Alfred Weekend, which takes place from October the 20th to the 23rd.
Claire, now a quick look through some items which you might find of interest during the coming week. On Tuesday the 13th, There's an item headed Sing with Winchester Community Choir. It's 7:30 at the United Church in Jewry Street. And it says, come and sing with a friendly community choir in the Winchester United Church, Hampshire. So that is on Tuesday. On Saturday, it's the Mitchell Diva Fate and Dog Show. You might find that of interest. And there's a whole page in the Hampshire Chronicle about something that we've already mentioned, which the Hampshire, which is the Hampshire Heritage Open Days. Not easy to say. I'll just mention a few more if you like. A tour of the museum collections. That is the Hampshire Cultural Trust at Chilcombe House. That will be on September the 17th. There's a history tour of P&G Wells Bookshop. That's on September the 10th and 11th. Hockley Watermill guided tour on Sunday, September the 18th. The Art of Bollards. That's September the 11th and 12th, Winchester City Museum. That refers, I assume, to the wonderful painted bollards throughout Winchester. Very colourful and interesting. There are a number of talks during the week of the heritage. What else have we got? We've got, oh, Discovering Chocolate Innovation. That's at Montezuma's Chocolates, 41 the High Street, from September the 9th to the 18th. St John Ambulance, an insight from Victorian times to modern times, and that's Saturday, September the 10th. That's at St John's House. Classic Sports Car Parade. That's Sunday, September the 11th, and Saturday, September the 17th. That's on Castle Avenue. Vintage bus display. They're always sort of interesting. The Winchester Muse Poetry Showcase. That's Saturday, September the 11th, 2 p.m. at St. Lawrence's Church. And there are lots of buildings open to the public, which aren't usually open to the public, including the Cheswell Theatre, the City Museum, obviously that is often open, the Great Hall, again, Hospital of St Cross, the Westgate Museum, and the City Mill. Well, finally, before we go on to the items of general news, let's have a look at the lighting up times for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 6:30 and set again at about 7:30 p.m. So on to the items of general news, the first from Vara, please.
Chief Constable set to leave force. Hampshire's Chief Constable has announced she will leave the force next year. Olivia Pinkney, who has spent more than 31 years in various police forces, has ruled out taking a new role with the police. She said announcing her departure now would allow smooth transition and handover to the new Chief Constable, who will start on April 1st, 2023. The top officer said, "I strongly believe that every large organisation needs to evolve through new leadership to ensure we are able to continually be at the forefront, in our case, of great policing. The day I was appointed Chief Constable will always be one of the proudest days of my life, and every day since I have witnessed the brilliance of those I have been lucky enough to serve with. Even on the darkest days, people step up and bring light. They try to do the right thing, going the extra mile, sticking to their values and putting the public first." Mrs. Pinkney added, "What the future holds beyond that, I do not know, but my heart remains rooted in public service. I'm not going to another job in policing. I said all along the only chief job for me is Hampshire, and I remain true to that." She thanked the public for their ongoing support of policing. The new Chief Constable is expected to take on the duties and office by the end of November 2022. Her deputy, Ben Stuggs, will become acting Chief Constable.
Teenage girl arrested after blazes started in city stores. A 15-year-old girl from Winchester has been arrested for arson after allegedly setting fire to clothes, a table and a chair in three city centre shops. Officers were called to Winchester High Street around 11:45 a.m. on Wednesday, August the 31st, following reports of three arsons at Fat Face, McDonald's and Marks and Spencer. Witnesses said a young girl entered Fat Face and set fire to some clothing. She then reportedly went into McDonald's and set fire to a table and threatened staff members in Marks and Spencer's before burning a chair. Both victims sustained minor injuries. Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service attended the scene and extinguished the fire. Staff at Fat Face temporarily closed the store in the wake of the incident. Officers were seen taking statements from both staff and bystanders in all three stores throughout the afternoon. A spokesperson for Hampshire Constabulary said a 15-year-old girl from Winchester has been arrested on suspicion of attempted arson with intent to endanger life. She remains in custody at this time.
Thank you, Tom. Claire, please.
A little ray of sunshine in the cost of living crisis. A community centre has been providing a safe space for families, friends and staff, and putting food on the table amid rising costs. After a busy summer, the Carroll Centre in Stanmore is preparing to reopen its nursery and support the community with rising costs throughout the autumn and winter. Since Jewel Heller Dixon took over the centre 14 months ago, the facility in Somers Close now includes a nursery and garden, soft play, a community cafe, a food pantry, a sensory room, and enclosed garden. The centre head said, "I'm constantly seeing opportunities for developing. At the moment, money is really tight and people wouldn't get these opportunities. Otherwise, whereas we're tolerant and accepting of differences." The community centre uses its social enterprises, the cafe and soft play, to help alleviate the costs for families in other areas, like its play scheme and community pantry, where customers can pay £5 for a £15 shop. As well as being a space for families, the centre employs staff who would otherwise struggle to keep a job. Kieran Hockin, who's been diagnosed with autism and ADHD, started on a supported placement. The 23-year-old said, "I originally came here to have something to do and not play on my Xbox 24/7. So I started volunteering, which turned into a paid position." Pantry users fill out a membership form but aren't questioned on their reason for using the service. Items are colour-coded, with blue labels for more expensive food like meat and branded products. Fiona Keel from Stanmore was the first to use the pantry after it was opened. She said, "It's been an absolute lifesaver, a little ray of sunshine. My husband is off work due to injury and we wouldn't be able to buy what we get here in the supermarket." The whole centre is really proactive and we're learning how to cook healthy meals and not waste food. It's excellent quality, good selection, and they're responsive to what people want, like gluten-free options. It's a really vital community service and more people need to use it. Otherwise they won't be able to prove they need the funding. But I think some people have too much pride. I was told about it by a lady from St Luke's Church, and that's how it gets around, by people telling other people. We should all be helping each other, especially as we go into the winter. Anybody could lose their home or job without warning. I don't think anybody can predict the future. The centre is currently seeking donations to extend its cook and eat programme to the autumn and provide families with a slow cooker as a more efficient way of cooking.
Thank you, Claire. My piece is headed Vandals Strike at River Path. Vandals have targeted fencing, which runs alongside the idyllic River Path in Winchester. The City Council received reports from concerned residents on Tuesday, August the 30th, that a section of the wooden barrier parallel to the weirs had been damaged. Council officers originally taped off the missing segment before crews returned to fit a plastic barrier shortly before 9 a.m. The authority has been in the process of replacing the fencing for the past 2 years, and civic chiefs confirmed that the broken section was one of the last to be upgraded under current plans. A spokesperson said, "Winchester City Council responded to reports yesterday morning of vandalism to the fencing along the weirs, which has now been cordoned off to keep the area safe for visitors and residents. The section of fence is one of the last sections to be replaced under the current works along the weirs, of which the next phase is due to start immediately. Until the fencing is scheduled to be replaced, the damaged area will be kept sealed off." Barbara, the next piece, please.
Well, here's another bit about vandals along the river. Perhaps it's the same vandals. A group of outdoor swimmers have been left shocked after vandals damaged steps into the River Itchen. Hampshire Open Water swimmers worked alongside the Friends of the Itchen Navigation Group to repair dog steps at their beloved local spot. But less than 48 hours later, they were ripped apart, destroying all the hard work put in by the volunteers. A member of the Hampshire Open Water swimmers group, Rachel Whitfield, was devastated by the news. She said, "The council built the set of wooden steps for improved access to the water, but we recently started to notice that the erosion of the banks kept getting worse. So, to reverse the damage, we decided to play our part." Rachel, along with other group members, raised over £500 to meet repair costs. Overnight, they hit the target and the team dived into the restoration task. However, their efforts went in vain when their conservation work was destroyed. Rachel admitted the swimmers were all really shocked, but said they were determined to repair the damage and continue to protect the riverbanks.
Thank you, Vara. Tom.
Caring homes sought for little brothers. An adoption agency is calling out to families to consider providing a home for two affectionate little brothers. Adopt South, the regional adoption agency for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, is searching for a family for two boys. The brothers, Dylan and James, are currently being looked after by their foster carers after being unable to continue living with their birth family. Dylan, 4, is the eldest sibling and has blue eyes. He enjoys playing with his hands using Duplo and Stickle bricks. He enjoys the company of other children and is always keen to have a cuddle with his foster carers and sing his favourite songs before nursery. James, 3, enjoys going to the park and learning to ride his new bicycle. He's very close to his brother, but he also enjoys being in the company of others. Through a series of medical tests, it was discovered that James has Duchenne muscular dystrophy, DMD, a genetic disorder which causes muscle weakness and speech delay. DMD causes degeneration of the fibrous connections in the body and is more prevalent during teenage years. Rachel Reynolds, head of Adopt South, said, "These boys are such happy and affectionate brothers. Unfortunately, James's diagnosis of DMD has meant that many people interested in the boys have held back because of the commitment and responsibility of caring for a child with disabilities. We will wholeheartedly support the right parents for James and Dylan today and in the future. We have found many of our children with additional needs a family to grow up in. Rachel added, with the help of our residents and communities here in the South, I believe there is a forever family for Dylan and James. We would welcome an informal conversation with anyone who feels they could be a mum or dad to these boys and keep them together.
Thank you, Tom. Now, Claire, please.
Get Ahead retailer steals a march on Christmas rush. Christmas decorations have hit the high street 17 weeks early as businesses launch their festive lines. Popular Winchester haberdashery Closs and Hamblin have displayed its Christmas decorations 3 months early as they get ready for the festive period. It comes as the high street store aims to give shoppers enough time to purchase and make their calendars in time for the Christmas period. Manager Tom Sawyer, who is in charge of putting the displays together, said, "Everyone has busy lives, so we get this sort of thing in early. It has to be sold before the end of November because the Advent starts in December. This is the exciting time of year because people come here for their presents and yarn, so it's imperative that we get it right and we make it as easy as possible for our customers." Anna Gilberkirke from Winchester stopped by to check out the Christmas display. She said, "I love the shop. You can't start early enough for Christmas. I think it's really good."
Thank you, Claire. My piece is headed Community Radio Charity Wins Double at Awards. A local volunteer-led charity has taken home two awards from the National Hospital Radio Awards for its coverage and contribution to the community. The annual National Hospital Radio Awards is organised by a national charity, the Hospital Broadcasting Association, and judged by media and radio professionals working in the broadcasting industry and senior managers within the NHS. The 2022 awards took place online on August Bank Holiday Monday and saw Winchester Radio win two awards and be shortlisted for another two categories. The charity won silver in the Best Special Event category for the station's broadcast of community Winchester Carols on the Doorstep. Meanwhile, trustee and chief engineer volunteer Paul Blitz received the John Whitney Outstanding Contribution Award. Award winner Paul Blitz said, "When I was persuaded to help design and build Winchester Hospital's radio first studios back in the 1980s, I had no idea that 38 years on, I'd still be so involved. I'm very lucky that I always enjoyed making the tech stuff work, something that's so essential to keeping a radio station running, especially a charity hospital community radio station, where money is always tight. So it really is a pleasant surprise to be acknowledged by the hospital audio community with the John Whitney Award." Farah, please.
Still waiting for tax rebate. Thousands of Winchester households eligible for a £150 council tax rebate had yet to receive it at the end of July, new figures show. Earlier this year, the government announced that every household in council tax bands A to D would receive a £150 rebate as part of a wider package of support to help with the cost of living crisis. These payments started landing in people's bank accounts in April. But new figures from the Department of Levelling Up, Housing and Communities, the DLUH, show that 4,555, or 15.2%, of the 30,000 eligible households in Winchester were still waiting as of the end of July. Payment has generally happened automatically for those who pay their council tax bills by direct debit. but it could take longer to reach council taxpayers without direct debit arrangements, as local authorities need to attempt to contact them about the rebate scheme and carry out checks, the Local Government Association said earlier this year. The government has also pledged £144 million in discretionary funds to help those not covered by the main rebate scheme, or to provide further support to those who are, such as those who have a council tax reduction due to a disability but do not live in a band A to D property. However, the figures show that no households in Winchester had been paid from the discretionary fund as of the end of July. Anyone yet to obtain the payment should check their council's website and make a claim by the end of September, the DLUHC said.
Thank you, Vara. Tom?
Celebs' death check-up call. A cancer support group in Hampshire is encouraging men to get regular check-ups to detect prostate cancer following the death of television presenter Bill Turnbull. North Hampshire Prostate Cancer Support Group, based in Basingstoke, is asking men to take a quick blood test, which any man over 50 can ask their GP for on the NHS, to pick up any possible cancer indication early. Bill died from prostate cancer on August the 31st at the age of 66. Since his diagnosis in 2018, he has been campaigning for men to get tested for prostate cancer. Since then, referrals to the NHS increased by about 20%, according to charity Prostate Cancer UK, and calls to its helpline saw a large increase. The North Hampshire Support Group, set up about 7 years ago to support men and their partners who have experienced this disease, runs regular public events both in the malls and at the Festival of Transport. The aim of these events is to encourage men to get regular checkups. Keith Bunker, a committee member of the support group, said, "When a well-known celebrity dies far too early, it is real sadness. And when the celebrity is as well-known and loved as Bill Turnbull, it is even more poignant. With prostate cancer now the most prevalent form of cancer in the UK, by Bill's own admission, like so many men, he did not heed the early warning signs until too late, and the cancer had spread."
Thank you, Tom. Claire?
Work underway to gut former Tom's Deli and transform it. Work has begun on gutting a former deli in Winchester and turning it into a Greek and Cypriot restaurant and takeaway. Years, owned by Paul Goodies, is due to open in 56 St George's Street by the end of September. It will serve a menu inspired by his grandma, Year Christala, who lived in Famagusta in Cyprus, where Paul spent his summers growing up. Earlier this year, in March, Paul bought the premises from Tom Romita, who had been running it as the popular Tom's Deli. However, work has only recently got fully underway. Bourne Valley Contractors is currently carrying out the refurbishment on Years, and company's Shane Dunaway said they were working hard to make the place extra special. It has been completely gutted. It is a total transformation. We will be doing the flooring and tiling next week. It should be a month or so, but perfection takes time. The restaurant is to bring 10 jobs to the city, with part-time and full-time positions available.
Thank you, Claire. My piece is headed, "It's Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow." And hair is spelled H-A-R-E. A public art trail, which was around the streets of Winchester and Southampton, has been removed, ready for its final farewell display and charity auction. More than 70 vibrantly decorated hares and leverets arrived in Winchester and Southampton in mid-June to raise money for the Murray Parish Trust. After 10 weeks of the colourful trail, the printed creatures have been removed, ready for a final farewell event in Winchester beginning tomorrow. That's Friday, September the 9th. That's an hour today, of course. All the hares and leverets will be displayed together outside the Great Hall in Castle Avenue for 3 days of public viewing. The larger hares will then be auctioned off inside the Great Hall in an effort to raise more funds for the Children's Emergency Care Charity on Tuesday, September the 13th. The hares have been given a reserve price of £2,400. But based on similar auctions, the 6-foot sculptures could increase to more than £15,000 and can host as many as 150 people. Meanwhile, most of the leverets will return to the schools they were designed by. Farah, please.
High praise for staff at Summer Fun Club. As children prepare for the new school term, staff and volunteers at family support charity Home Start Winchester and Districts are reflecting on the success and challenges of this year's Summer Fun Club. The Fun Club, which is held in Marquees, supplied at discounted rates by Medstead Marquees, provides opportunities for children and parents to relax, make friends, and try new activities through the long summer holiday. The project began in 2020 after COVID lockdown caused school closures. But the popularity and the success of the programme led the charity to seek special funding to continue its work. After packing away following another busy summer, scheme manager Liz Stannard admitted to being exhausted but delighted. She said, "Children created works of art, slept under the shade of the trees, petted the animals, enjoyed the cool of the paddling pool, watched and produced puppet shows, made pizzas and picnics, built dens out of cardboard, spent time as shopkeepers, and wanted to come back each day for more. Parents have built new friendships, renewed old ones, and sought the help and support of each other. They've had the opportunity to be creative whilst their children played safely." Home Start Winchester is part of the National Home Start Movement, each of which is an independent charity supporting families in their local community. The charity's services are provided by a team of volunteers who are recruited, trained, and given ongoing support by a small staff team. Volunteers provide free, informal, and confidential support to families with at least one child under 5 for at least 2 hours once a week, generally for between 6 and 12 months. Home Start families may be struggling with many issues. These can include loneliness and isolation, coping with twins, triplets, or several preschool children, ill health, disability and special needs, relationship difficulties, and children's behavioural problems. Ms. Stannard paid tribute to the volunteers who had helped deliver the programme and to her Home Start colleagues. She said, "There's been lots of fun and laughter, along with the occasional tears. The amount of emotional energy needed to support families for the 3-week activity programme is massive. The staff team have been awesome. We generate such energy and enthusiasm from one another, and I'm so privileged to work with such a tremendous bunch of people."
Thank you, Vara. Tom.
Stark reminder of true toll of suicide. A 6-foot-tall public art installation raising awareness of youth suicide is being launched outside Winchester Cathedral to mark Suicide Awareness Day. The installation is a sand timer that will revolve every 40 seconds, reflecting global statistics that show every 40 seconds someone ends their life by suicide. A counter will mark every revolution to reflect just how many lives this represents. Within the sand timer, there are 161 balls, 113 orange-coloured balls for boys, and 48 purple-coloured balls for girls. These represent the 161 children and adolescents under the age of 19 years old who end their life by suicide in 2020 in England. Organised by the Hampshire Child Adolescent Mental Health Services, CAMHS, which is provided by Sussex Partnership NHS, Foundation Trust, the project has been jointly funded by Sussex Partnership's official charity, Heads On, and Ringwood Roundtable. Helen Dove, Innovation and Participation Lead of Hampshire CAMHS, said public art is a very powerful way of getting important messages out. No message can be more important than raising awareness about suicide. We want to draw attention whilst encouraging kindness and compassion and providing information about where people can seek help. While this event raises awareness of suicide and will hopefully encourage people to have that first conversation, it is also important to consider those who might be impacted. A variety of support and signposting will be on offer at the Sand Timer installation for anyone in crisis and or coping with the aftermath of suicide. The installation will be outside Winchester Cathedral from September the 9th for 4 weeks and is being supported by the Mayor of Winchester, who will be in attendance at the launch ceremony.
Thank you, Tom. Claire.
Cheers all round for best boozers. A riverside pub in the centre of Winchester has been named as the best boozer in the city and the safest. The Bishop on the Bridge in High Street was named Best Overall Pub at the 6th Best Bar Nun Awards, took place on Thursday, September the 1st at the University of Winchester. Best Newcomer was awarded to In the Park, and the Eclipse Inn in the Square was also named Best Independent. Having been a pub since 1750, with parts of the building dating back to 1540, the Eclipse Inn boasts plenty of history and even has a resident ghost called Lady Lyle. Owner Michelle Tempest said, "We are so proud of our staff for achieving these magnificent awards. We hope Lady Lyle likes her new silverware." With 11 local venues achieving accreditation status, there were 7 silver awards for the Eclipse Inn, In the Park, the Mucky Duck, the Old Jailhouse, the Royal Oak, the Westgate, and the William Walker. 4 gold awards went to Alfie's, Bishop on the Bridge, O'Neill's, and Pitcher and Piano.
Thank you, Claire. So the last news item is a very sort of upbeat piece. It is Warning Over Maggots. A national pest control body is encouraging households to make sure that their bins are maggot-free following a summer of optimal breeding conditions. National trade body British Pest Control Association has told householders in Hampshire to check their bins for maggots. Flies are often found on refuse tips and dustbins, attracted by household waste, which can be both a food source and a breeding site. Eggs laid by flies can hatch in 24 hours during warm weather, producing maggots which can become fully developed in a week. John Horsley, a technical officer for the organisation, said, "This year's long hot summer has been a bumper season for flies. A housefly will lay a hatch of around 120 eggs, which can become adults within a week, while one blue bottle can lay up to 600 eggs, which in hot weather will hatch into maggots and in just 48 hours. Maggots will feed by burrowing into rotting food, particularly meat or carrots. So sheltering harborages with a ready supply of food scraps, such as household bins, can quickly become infested. Flies in the UK's most widespread pest can be a source of food poisoning, as well as sometimes carrying the eggs of parasitic worms.
Ugh.
Yes, definitely.
Well, on that upbeat note, I think we'll say goodbye to the Hampshire Chronicle reading for this month. Another reminder that Liz LeGris is the person to call if you have any problems with your recording. A contact number again is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Thanks to all our support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition, and to our editors. And of course, many thanks to our readers. Vara.
Goodbye.
I nearly called you Richard, because that's what my script says. Tom.
Goodbye.
Claire.
Bye.
And from me, Peter. Until the next time, goodbye. Would you please put the memory stick in your wallet when you finish with it and return it to us as soon as possible? Thank you and goodbye.